Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel Amud Bet, looking at the source in the first part of our sugya for three dayanim making up the minimal beitin. Shlosha Menalan, top of that Gimel Amud Bet. The Tana Rabbanan. In the Parsh of Shomer Chinam, we have the following statement: Yikrav Balabayit El Hay Elohim. Hare Kan Echad, Elohim here being Beit Din, but it's one mention. Ad Elohim Yavod Varshneim, whenever there's a dispute, it has to come to the Beit Din. Hare Kan Shnaim. Asher Yarshiun Elohim, at the end of the Parsha, Asher Yarshiun Elohim. Now, Hare Kan Shloshat Divrei Bishiyah. So Bishiyah counts them and says there's three times in that Parsha it says Elohim. Therefore, you see that the Beit Din, minimal Beit Din is three. Rabbi Yonatan Omer Rishon Tchila Nemar. He says the first mention is just to tell you it has to come to a Beit Din. It's not telling you numbers. Ve'ein dorshin tchilot. Ein dorshin tchilot means that when you have a series of the same word or phrase, which the number of that in that series tells you how many items there are, the first one cannot count towards it because the first one is needed for its own self to tell you that there's a need for a Beit Din here. And we'll see more of that later on. So he says, Ela ad helim yivod varshnehem. So the second mention, harei kan echad, means there's one. Hayasher yashiyun Elohim harei kan shnayim. Ve'ein beitin shakul. And since there's a rule that beitin can't be an even number, mostly fin alein or echad, harei kan shlosha. So the essential difference between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonatan is, do we count each one independently and come up with three? Or do we not count the first one, end up with two, but there's a built-in din of odd-numbered beitin, so you have to have three. So, Neima b'dorshin tchilot k'mi palgi, maybe the machloket is about dorshin tchilot, about counting the first instance of a sequence. Everybody actually agrees that you do not count the first one. So, Rishia is the one who has the strange position. Why do you count the first one? Amar l'char b'shir, or Rishia would answer as follows, Imke neima krav, and ikrav ala bayit ala shofet. He said, if the first one, which I agree with you normally, the first one is there just to present the information, not to become part of the count, but if it was trying to do that here, then it should have said, let him come to the judge. My El Hay Elohim, why does it use the same somewhat odd word that it uses the other two times? Shmaminam Linyana. So it teaches you that in this case, in an unusual fashion, it comes also for as part of the count. So Rabbi Yonatan, he says, Leishna Dalma Nakat. He says, that's the way the Torah talks. If you have a din, come to the dayan. In other words, the krav balabayit el Elohim is the way that they normally talk. So therefore, you wouldn't expect it to say shofet. Now, Rabbi Shia, lately, beit din nota, doesn't Rabbi Shia have the built-in notion that a beit din has to be an odd number so that it can vote by having a majority? The pasuk in Mishpatim that says that the Beit Din has to recline after majority. You have to make a Beit Din that has a majority, which means that according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that three is built in, he doesn't have the notion of Beit Din Nota because he should say that there's only two, and then Beit Din Nota pushes it to three. So the answer is, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda, Deyamar Shivim. Remember, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said the Beit Din HaGadol was 70. So if it's 70, obviously Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have a built-in principle of an odd number. Tanan, Sanhedrin, Dolai, Tashem, Mechav, Rabbi Yehuda, Shivim. So Eimer, Shamad, Leather, Rabbi Yehuda, Sanhedrin, Dolai. We only know that Rabbi Yehuda says that with a large Sanhedrin. Tichtivi Kroi, we have Psukim, Esfali Shivim Ish. Shar Beit Din HaMishamat Leit. Since when does Rabbi Yehuda extend it to a Beit Din of 22 instead of 23 or 2 instead of 3? V'chatei Melo Shna, if you think that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish, V'adnan, we have the following Mishnah in our Mishnayot. Smichat Zekinim V'arifat Egla V'shlosh Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'chamisha. If you recall in our Mishnah, we saw, in one of our Mishnayot, we saw that Smichat Zekinim, meaning the ritual whereby the Zekinim put their hands on the par, when it's a par helam davar shel tzibur, or the ritual of arifat egla, when a murder victim is found outside the city, has three. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chamisha, Vyamrina, and Ma'itam, Rabbi Yehuda, and we saw this already, by the way, when we studied Sota, but we'll see it later on this Masechet. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you need five? Because v'samchu shnayim, ziknei shnayim, vein betin shakum, osifin alei rod echad. Harikan Chamisha. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda has a built-in principle of an odd-numbered Beit Din. And it's only when it comes to 70 that he says 70. You could have an even number. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda different from Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is you're right. Rabbi Yehuda takes Rabbi Yehuda's position, but he extends it. Rabbi Yehuda only accepts the possibility of an even number with Sanhedrin Gdola because of the Psukim. But with other Beit Din, he has the principle of Beit Din Nota, of a majority. Rabbi Yehuda, Bashar Beit Din Anami Leitle. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even in other Bate Din, he doesn't have the principle of Beit Din Nota. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the phrase, Lintot Acher Abim Hatot? Which we said is teaches the principle of Beit Din Nota, of having a Beit Din of odd people so you could have a majority. Mokim Labet Din Nefashot. He says, yeah, let's talk about Din Nefashot. He says, I agree with you. When it comes to Din Nefashot, you need an odd number. Elo Bedin Momen Olo. So Din Momen Olo. Hadit Nan Shtayim Omrim Zakai V'chadomer Chayav Zakai. Shtayim Omrim Chayav V'chadomer Zakai Chayav. So we have a clear Mishnah that says that if two say that you're Potter from paying, you're Potter, even though one says you're Chayav. So, name it alok Rabbi Yehuda. According to you, Rabbi Yehuda should demand that they all say chayiv. So, I think that Rabbi Yehuda might love a kavah chomer din and a fashot. So, what happens is we end up with everybody agreeing on the halacha. The halacha is you need an odd number beit din, and the halacha is that three can be din and mamonot. And the halacha is if two say one way and one says the other way, it follows the two. But it's where you get it from. Rabbi Yonatan says built into the notion of any beit din is beit din nota. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's not. Haraya, the Torah had to tell me three in order to have three. And so therefore he says that I have a kawachom din in Foshat, ma din Foshat, the Chamiri, Amarachmana, Zilbataruba, Mamonot, Lokoshokain. So he works as follows. Din Mamonot, which is obviously more Chamur, the Torah still says follow majority. So even if a minority say he should live, you still kill him. Of course, it has to be a majority of two, as we said. So Din Mamonot, certainly, which are not as Chamur, certainly you could follow the Rove. Okay, Tanar Abanan, Din Mamonot, Shalosha, Rebbe Omer Bachamisha. I have an interesting take. Rebbe says you need five for Dinei Mamonot against our Mishnah. Kadesh Yigamer Din Mishlosha, so that when you have the Gemar Din, you'll have at least three people voting in favor of whatever the result is, because it could be 3-2. So Atu Betlata Milo Gemar Din Betray. Wait, if you have three, you'll still have Gemar Din with two. So Hachikamar Neish Gemar Din Mishlosha. In other words, because Rebbe says you have to have the Gemar Din with three, meaning three people have to vote in favor of whatever the decision is. So in order to ensure that, you have to have five. Alma Kasavar Tlata Kik TV Gemar Din TV. So obviously Rebbe holds that the Elohim that's mentioned in this Pasuk that we just saw is talking about Gemar Din. Megadif Bar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu cursed this statement. Elamiata, in other words, he made fun of it by saying, Elamiata, Te Sanhedrin Dolat Tzricha Me'avi Arbaim V'chad. If that's the case, that when we say that Beit Din HaGadol is 71, you should really need 141. Because you can Gemar Din Meshivim V'chad, so that you'll have at least 71 voting for whatever the decision is. Te Sanhedrin Tanat Tzricha Arbaim V'chamisha. Because you can Gemar Din Meshlosha V'esrim. And the same thing with a Sanhedrin Tanah for Din and Nefashot. You should require a total of 45 on the Beit Din so that you'll have at least the 23 required voting in favor of your decision. Ella, Rabbi Abahu says, and by the way, Rebbe just said Chamisha. We're going to have to figure out why. Ella, Esfali Shivi, in other words, Rabbi Abahu was not making fun of Rebbe, he was making fun of whoever interpreted Rebbe that way. When the Torah says 70, Shatasifa Shivi, meaning gather 70. So it means when you gather them, there should be 70, not at the end. V'shaftu edav etzilahu edanami, the psukim that we saw in the Mishnayot, in the beginning of the parak. V'shaftu edav etzilahu edav, which gives us 23. Mishat shvitat edav, that's from the point of judging, not the point at the end. Achinami, nikrav balabait Elohim, mishat krevash losha. The same thing with our three psukim, our three mentions of Elohim. It's when you approach the Beit Din. So when you approach, there has to be three. So elahein time to Rebbe. What's Rebbe's real reason for saying five? Asher Yarshiun Elohim, and this is going to open up a very interesting door. The end of the parsha says Asher Yarshiun Elohim, but notice it's spelled without a vav. It's spelled chaser. So Rebbe says that's two. Asher Yarshiun Elohim, that's two. And it's a plural. So you got two dayonim. Nemar Elohim lamata v'nemar Elohim lamala. And the earlier mention number two in the pasuk, is also Elohim. So malamata shnaim of lamala shnaim. So just like the last mention of Elohim, because the verb used in it is a plural verb, yarshiun, so therefore you know it means two. So the Elohim mentioned in the second instance must mean two. That gives you four. V'ein beit din shakul. and you can't have an even number of 18, which means he agrees with Rabbi Yonatan. The first one doesn't count. But each one of the second two is doubled. So you have four. Can't have Beitin Shakul, Mosefin Alein Odachad. Harekan Chamisha. So therefore you end up with, five. And that's how Rebbe got five. Okay. Rabbanan, so how do Rabbanan answer that, who say three? Yarshi'an Ktiv. In other words, they say, the way that it is written is singular. Yarshi'ain, you might say it, even though we vocalize it, Yarshi'un. And this opens up the door to a discussion that we're going to now engage in about Yesh Eim L'Mikra and Yesh Eim L'Masoret. Eim L'Mikra means that the direction that we use in interpretation follows the way that we read the word in the Torah, the way we vocalize it based on the Masorah. Eim L'Masoret actually means that we follow, that we are guided by the way that it is traditionally written in the Torah. So if it's written chaser and we don't know if it's plural or singular, if the simplest reading is singular, we'll read it that way. So let's see. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan made the following observation. It's one that we're accustomed to hearing from Abaye, this kind of observation. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, Uveit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, all five of these Tanaim or Tanaitic schools, Kulus Firlu Yesh Eim L'Mikra. They all hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra, which means the way we vocalize the word guides the day. Rebbe Hadamran. Rebbe, we already saw. Asher Yarshi'un. Rebbe Yehuda ben Roetz, what's that? The Tanya. Shalu Talmidim at Rebbe Yehuda ben Roetz. They asked him. Ekra ani Shiv'im. The Pasuk in Tazria that talks about a woman becoming Tme'ah after having a daughter says Shin Bet Ayin Yod Mem, which we read Shvu'ayim, 2 weeks. But he said you could read Shivim. Yachalte, you'll let it in the Kivat Tmeah Shivim. Maybe she's Tmeah for 70 days instead of 14. Amrlehen, Timei v'tiher b'zachar v'timei v'tiher b'nekivah. So his answer to them was, look, the Torah has a system with a male and a system with a female. And you know the system with the male is half as long, 7 days of Tuma and then the next 33 days of Dam Tohar. Mach sh'tiher b'zachar b'nekivah kiflayim, just like the Tahara. It was 33 with a male and 66 for a nekevah. It's doubled. Af shetimei b'zachar. So the tumah is also nekevah kiflayim. And we know that tumat leida for a boy is 7 days. So for a girl, it's 14 days. In other words, if the tahara is double, the tumah is double also. Lachar sheyatzu. But after the talmidim left, yatzal machzir acharim. He went after them and said, Amar lahen, i'atam zkukim l'chach. You know what? You don't need that argument. Shvuayim karinan. We read shvuayim. V'yishem l'mikra. And therefore, the way that we traditionally read the text guides our interpretation and not the way it's written. Okay, Beit Shammai, what's the third instant? None. Beit Shammai Omrim, Kol HaNitanin on Mizbeach Chitzon. All dam that goes on the outside Mizbeach, which is most dam, Shenatana Matana Achad Kiper. If you put it on one wall of the Mizbeach, there's Kapara. Okay? Uvechatat Shtei Matanot. But for a Korban Chatat, there has to be two. One on each corner. Ritil disagrees and says, even a chatat, if you put one on, kiper. Al-chatchil, you should put all four, but one is enough. And he said, what's Beit Shammai's reason? Karnot, karnot, karnot. That if you notice in the pasuk on the page, it says three times karnot, but notice in the way that the Gemara has it, it's written without a vav. So Beit Shammai reads it as plural. Karnot, karnot, karnot. Hare kan shesh. That's six, right? Two, two, two. That's six. Arba l'mitzvah. Four of them are for the ideal mitzvah. There's another two left. Shtayim l'akev. Two to tell you that at least two of them you have to hit. We tell Elamim, karnot, karnot, karnot. Look at the way that it's written. The first time it's written with a vav. The last two, not with a vav, at least in their version of the Sefer Torah. I'll explain why I'm saying that at the end of the sugya. Harekan arba. So the first one is with a vav. That's two. The next two are without a vav. So read it as karnat, and that's 2 plus 1 plus 1, that's 4. Shalosh l'mitzvah, three of them are to tell you ideally where you should hit it. V'achav l'akev, and one is there to tell you you got to have at least one for it's indispensable. V'eimu kulu l'mitzvah. So why, Beit Hillel, if they only have four, why don't they just say all four for a mitzvah and none are m'lakev? So kapar b'chdilo ashkechan. He said, no, that's not possible, because you can't have kapar without at least some dam. Okay. That's Beit Hillel. Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Shtayim Kel Chatan, is talking about a sukkah. Rabbi Shimon, the Braita says then you need two proper walls, or shlishita filu tefach, the third wall of a sukkah, the zar psak, is even a tefach. Rabbi Shimon omer shalosh kil chatanu or viita filu tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need three full walls, and the fourth could be minimal. Maika mipalgi, so what's the machlok? Rabbanan savi yesh eim lemasoret. Rabbi Shimon savi yesh eim lemikra. Okay, here we go. Rabbanan savi yesh eim lemasoret. It says, I'm going to read it the way that it's written. Basukat, basukat, basukot. Same thing as we had just down Beit Hillel with the karnot. There's three mentions of the word basukot. Basukot, ashu shivat yamim, kol zvach v'yisrael yishu basukot. Amad yedudor dechem ki basukot. And so at least in this version of it, you've got two of them written without a vav and one with. That gives you four. Ikan arba. Dal chad krat legufe. One of them is needed for itself, which we all agree. So pashalut light. You got three. So there should be three walls. Atoy hilchata, there's a halacha, the Moshe Mishina, which says your last wall can be minimal. Garata l'shlishit. So it says you need three, of which the last one can be minimal. Two plus a little. Vukimta gu atafach. And then the last one is a tafach. Rabbi Shimon says, basukot, 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 are kan shesh. Because yesh eim lemikra. And each one is plural. So that's six, just like Beit Shammai with the kranot. Dal chad kra legufe. So one of the psukim is for itself, which means we have Sukkot, Sukkot, which is four. Pashto Arba. So you need four walls. And the halacha comes and says, the last wall, the fourth one, Vukmea Tafach, can be just a Tafach wide. Alright, good. And what's Rabbi Akiva? Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Minayler, Vi'itam, Shiatzam, Mishne, Metim, Shematame, Ba'ohel. How do I know that if two different Metim are in a place and between them, there's Revi'itam, that's there in an ohel. How do I know it's Matami Be'ohel? Shenemar, I'll call Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo. You cannot come to a Kohen cannot come to the presence of Nafshot Meit. Meaning Shtei Nefashot, V'Shiur Achad. There's one Shiur, which is Revit, but even from multiple Nefashot. For Rabbanan say Nafshat Ktiv. It says it's written without a Vav, so therefore it has to be one person. So that's the layout of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan. These five individuals or schools maintain that we always follow the way that the text is read in interpreting. Matgar Acha Bar Yaakov, Mi Eker Leit Leishem the Mikra. Is there anybody who doesn't hold that the way that the word is vocalized guides our interpretation? Vatanya Lo Tavashok Di B'Chalev Imo. B'Chalev Imo means the milk of his mother. If it said B'Chalav Imo, B'Chalev Imo, then it would be fat. A whole different word. Yachol b'chelev, I might think it means you can't cook a kid in its mother's fat. Amarta yeshem lemikra. No, everybody knows that we read that we interpret the text based on the way it's read, which is b'chalevimo, the milk. So ela dechuliyam yeshem lemikra. Alright, so the position of Racha Bar Yaakov is that everybody holds yeshem lemikra, and now we gotta go back and figure out why Rabbanan, why in our case of the Beit Din? Why Beit Hillel in the case of the Matan Damim? Why Rabbanan in the case of the walls of the Sukkah? And why Rabbanan in the case of the Dam Hamet for Tumat Ohel disagreed? Rabbi Rabbanan Bahakamim Pelgi in our case of three for Beit Din, they disagree about this. Three or five. Rabbi Savar Yarshiun Elohim Achrini, that Rabbi says that the Elohim mentioned at the end is some other people, meaning that you have the Beit Din that you already have plus two others. For Rabbanan Savri, Ashiun Daheich V'hai, he says the same ones that were there. So their interpretation is not about Yishem L'mikra, Yishem L'mosar. Everybody agrees Yishem L'mikra. But Rebbe says that Yarshiun was referring to another two that come. For Yehuda ben Ro'etz, Lo Pligi Rabbanan Alei. That's easy. Nobody disagrees with Yehuda ben Ro'etz about the Shvuayim, so there's nothing to discuss. Beit Hillel, why do Beit Hillel say that you could only have one dam for kaparat chatat? The Tanya v'chiper v'chiper v'chiper. It's based on a different pasuk. Mimnei hadin. And why does the Torah have to say v'chiper three times in that context? Because of a kal v'chomer. Follow dinu. Ne'amar damim lamata ne'amar damim lamala. The Torah uses the word dam when it talks about the chatat and about the ola. Ma damim lamata shem tana matana achat kiper. Just like with an ola, which is the dam below the red line. One matana is enough. After amur mamala shen tana matana achad kiper. So similarly, we would say that if you did a chatat, that one is enough. Oklach l'derech zu. Maybe you should go this way. Nemar damim b'chutz v'nemar damim b'fnim. The Torah mentions damim in the outside mizbeach and damim in the inside mizbeach. In the golden mizbeach, in the inside, if you miss one matana, the whole thing's nothing. Everything's ma'akev. Maybe on the outside with a chatat. Remember, the inside can only be a chatat. A chatat primit. So on the outside, if you missed one matana, maybe you did nothing. So Beit Hillel says, let's see which it's comparable to. Is a chatat bachutz more like an olah bachutz, or is it more like a chatat bifnim? So tanin chutz bichutz, and tanin chutz bifnim. The answer is that chutz should all be consistent. So klach l'derech zu. Try this. Tanin chatat v'arba kronot, mi chatat v'arba kronot. Maybe the chatat, when the four corners, or the four horns, which is on the inside, should be the guide for the chatat and the four corners on the outside. As opposed to an olah, which is not a chatat, doesn't demand four anyways. Therefore, the Torah says v'chiper three times to respond to that syllogism. Kiper of bishalonatan el shlosha. Kiper of bishalonatan el shtayin. Kiper of bishalonatan el achat. The Torah says it's mechaper, meaning you should give four, but it's mechaper the first time, even though you give three. Mechaper the second time, you only give two. It's mechaper the third time, even though you only gave one. So in other words, that has nothing to do with the yeshem lemikra. It's a whole different limud. For bishimra rabbanon bahapligi. And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan, when they talk about three or four walls, disagree not about Eivim L'Mikra or Eishim L'Masoret. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Schachah lo Ba'ikra. Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need a pasuk to tell me Schach. And therefore, the first pasukot counts. Rabbanan Savri, Schachah Ba'ikra. The very fact that you need Schach itself needs a pasuk. Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan Ba'apligi, Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan about Ravi Tam, disagree about this. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Nafshot Tarti Mashma. Nafshot means two. Rabbanan Savi Nafshot, the Alma Mashma. Nafshot Meit doesn't mean two people, it just means people who die, meaning it's just talking about the collective, but not about two particular people. And of course it means only the blood from one body. So again, it's not about Isha the Mikra. So let's challenge Racha Bar Yaakov. Udechuli Alma Yish'eim LaMikra. Does everybody agree with that? Vatanya, Letotafot, Letotafot, Letotafot. All right, and here in the version the Gemara gives, the Totafot is written in the defective way, it's what's called defective, na chaser, the Totafot, the first times, without vavs. The second time with two vavs. So we say, Arekan Arbid, Rabbi Shmuel says, aha, you see, and this is Eim HaMasoret. The first time, it's written as a singular, that's one. The second time is a singular, that's two. The next time, it's written as a plural, so that's four. So that's how you know there's four batim and tefillin. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einot Tzarich. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need that to get to four. Tet Bekat Feishtaim. Tet Pet Be'afri Afrikishtaim. Kiva has this very strange statement that he says, Totafot is really a compound word of two African languages, which each one of them means two, so it's two plus two. But what we see, the critical part, is that Rabbi Shmuel is looking at the way the words are written and making a cheshbon based on that. Yish'eim L'masoret. Right? So, this is what I mentioned earlier. If you take a look at Tosfot here, you'll see the Tosfot points out that our Sifrei Torah, the Hainu Tosfot Sifrei Torah, are not written the way that the Gemara writes them. And indeed that, our Sifrei Torah today are not written like either the Gemara or like Tosfot says. There's a very interesting Sefer, there's a very famous Gilui on Hashas in Shabbos Daf Nun Hei that quotes this and quotes all the other instances where Chazal quote Psukim and are medayik in the way the psukim are written, and the way that our masoret has them written is not the same way. And this opens up a whole floodgate of issues of conflict between masorah and halacha, and Dr. Lyman wrote a very interesting article about it that's I think available online, about the conflict between masorah and halacha, in all sorts of contexts, including the order of ketuvim. But there was a sefer written in the 19th century, Mitpachot Sfarim, Mitpachot Sofrim, which lists all through Tanakh in order all the psukim that anywhere in the sources of Chazal is presented in one way, and nonetheless in our Sfarim, in our Masoret, is written differently. A very interesting course of study. In any case, the Olam Pligi, the answer is there is a machloket about Yeshem L'Mikra and Yeshem L'Masoret, and we go back and say that our original reading of the machlokot was the way that we thought it was the correct way. V'hani mili ki pligi, but when do they disagree? Heichad ashani krab masoret. It's only when the lettering is different, meaning when you read it as if there's a vav, but it's written without a vav. Aval high, but high chalav chelav dechadarininu. But chalav and chelav have the same letters, so therefore yeshem lemikra. You have to go aim lemikra, meaning you have to follow the vocalization because it's not as if you're pretending there's a letter there. Nothing there. Is that really true? Vare yir'e yeira'e dechadarininu. In the when the Torah talks about aliyah l'regel, it says shalosh pamim bashana yeira'e. But it looks like yir'e, and it's the same way, and we should follow, according to what we just said, everybody should agree to only read yir'e. Upligi, how do we know that Tanya Yochanan ben Dehavai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Zaytemetz Chutzugin Nechagiga Hasuma Bachat Meinav Patur Min Ariya. If somebody's blind in one eye, he's Patur from Ariya. How do I know? Shinamar yir'e and yir'e. Kederach Shabalei Ra'ot Kach Balei Ra'ot. Just like you're coming to see, you're coming to be seen. So since you can't see with both eyes, therefore you're pater. So in other words, he's reading the obligation of Aliyah L'Regel based on Yesh Eim L'Masoret. Even though the wording, there's no extra letters there. So then how do we answer B'chalei Mimo? The answer is, Lo Tvashel G'di, Derech Bishol Asa Torah. When the Torah said, do not see the kid in its mother's milk, it means Derech Bishol. And Derech Bishol means the way you normally cook. You can't cook meat in fat. You cook meat in a liquid, and the liquid is milk. So therefore, the fact that we interpret it as milk as opposed to fat is not based on Yeshem Lemikra, but rather based on the verb Tevashel, which guides us in interpreting the word properly. Now, you look back at the issue of Yir'eh and Yira'eh, and it's not so pashut, because Yir'eh and Yira'eh, they're not saying read it only as Yir'eh against the Mikra. They're saying that the fact that the Torah wrote it this way may be indicating that there's like a double entendre. You can't have a double entendre in Lo Tvashel G'di B'chalei Vimo. Either this is prohibited or that's prohibited. But that's the way that our sugya leaves it. And today, in an unusual fashion, we went off on some tangents about the issue of Yesh Ein L'Mikra, but it's of course a fascinating subject. And we will pick it up with a return to our sugya of Dinei Mamonot B'Shlosha in the next podcast. In the meantime, we wish you have a wonderful day.